God, it's all yours today. Whatever it is, wherever I go, whatever I say, it's all yours. I'm turning it all over to you. It keeps us, I believe if we do that, if we wake up and have that kind of caution in our hearts and walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, as the Bible would say, if we'd start our days like that, we'd save ourselves a lot of trouble, wouldn't we?
Amen.
And that's what I think about when we sing that song there. And I hope tonight's message will be a blessing and encouragement to somebody. Take your Bibles and go with me to 2 Timothy chapter number 4. That's where we'll be tonight. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. And we're going to begin reading in verse number 1, and we're going to read down through verse number 8. The Bible says this, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing."
Amen.
If the Lord will help us tonight for just a few moments, I'd like to look at verse number 7, and I'd like to examine some things that I believe could help me and could help you. And Paul will say, "I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith." And we're going to look at those three things that he mentioned this evening, and we're going to look at the thought, finishing well. Amen? Finishing well. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we need You tonight. God, we need You to strengthen us, Lord. And Father, I pray, God, that You just help us to gather around Your Word and fellowship with You, Lord. And God, that Your Holy Spirit might touch us, Lord, just as the songwriter said, "All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One come down," God. And Lord, we need Your conviction, we need Your guidance, we need Your correction and Your reproof. And God, we need exhorted tonight, and God, we need strengthened if we're going to finish well. And Father, I pray that You help us to look to the example of this man of God that You use so greatly, the Apostle Paul. And Lord, help us to glean from Your Word the things that You'd have us to see here this evening that might help us and encourage us in our Christian service. Lord, we'll be careful to give You all the thanks, the praise, the honor, and the glory for all of it. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. I was preparing for this message, and I was doing my outline, and I was looking throughout the Bible at other examples for the truths that we're going to examine here tonight. And I like to be familiar with my text, and I like to reread my text through several times before I'm going to preach it. And I was reading through it again, and I something was recalled to my mind, how that there is no chapter 5 of the book of 2 Timothy. This is the last chapter of the last letter that will ever leave the hand of Paul. He's in prison in Rome. He's in bonds. He's in chains, and he understands that he will not leave Rome again, that he is going to go to the guillotine, that he's going to go to the chopping block, so to say, that he will be beheaded, that he will be martyred for the cause of Christ, that his blood will be shed before the multitudes, and that he'll be publicly executed. And by way of the Holy Spirit of God, God uses Paul, but under inspiration of His Spirit, to pen one more letter to encourage this young preacher in the faith, to exhort him. He says, "I want to see you. I love you. I want you to do well. I want you to preach. I want you to keep this thing going. I want you to keep preaching the Word of God and continue to work that He might build His church." And I began to think to myself, it's amazing to me that Paul, from the moment of his salvation until he stands here now in shackles by way of pen with the Holy Spirit of God penning his final words, and God has been with him every step of the way. God has used him every day since then, and in his final hours, God is still using Paul.
Amen.
Listen to me tonight. I don't want to get burnt out.
Amen.
I don't want to get over it. I don't want to give up.
Amen.
I think of Brother Daniel over there in Scotland, the third, fourth country he's served in now as a missionary, planting churches and seeking to see people saved and seeking to see people brought to the Lord Jesus Christ. He does not have any intentions of giving up anytime soon. Amen.
Amen.
I think of my own heroes in the faith that have gone on before me, that are up in glory, or some are still here with us in this world, and how that their testimony encourages me. And I think of this man of God, and I think of Paul, and I think the words that he says, and he mentions in verse number 7 such profound words. He says, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, and I have kept the faith. That's three things you and I ought to seek to desire to do with our lives. That Jesus Christ the Lord might be honored and glorified, we ought to seek to finish well. If you're anything like I am in here this morning, I testified a little bit, or just about 5 years ago this week, how that God enlisted me in the Lord's army. I joined the Taze Valley Baptist Church and began to try and serve God. I began to try and do what I could for God. And listen to me, I've stumbled and fell along the way. I've made mistakes along the way, and I hope that it could be said, if it's written of my testimony up in heaven, that I fell 7 times, but I got up 8. Amen. That I wasn't going to continue, that I wasn't going to stay down, that I wasn't going to stay out, that I wasn't going to stay afflicted, but rather that I was going to rise above it and serve God with everything in me. Paul says, I finished well. I kept the faith. I fought the good fight. And we're going to look at these three things here this afternoon, and we're going to hopefully find some things that will help us. I want to notice first and foremost, a spectacular fight.
Amen.
A spectacular fight. Paul simply says this, I have fought a good fight. I have fought a good fight. Paul realizes and Paul recognizes that to enlist in the Lord's army, we teach those kids the songs in VBS in a junior church, I'm in the Lord's army. They need to serve God. They need to enlist early. They need to get on the forefront of the battle, working for God and serving God as early as they can, and do what they can for the Lord with their time here on this earth. Paul would write this in the first epistle to Timothy. He says, now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. He says, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went on before thee, that thou mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and good conscience, which some having put away concerning the faith hath made shipwreck. And I recall something to your mind here this morning, that these men are very familiar with what war is. These men live in a day and an age in the first century. They're in Judea and they're in Israel, where they are saturated, they are surrounded with Roman culture, and it's wicked and it's bloody and it's violent, and there are many a swords drawn, and there are many a battles fought, and there are many a people slain and fallen to the earth. And they realize the devastation of war. They realize the destruction that war brings. They realize just exactly how serious this is, and the Holy Ghost of God inspired these very men to pen these analogies in the Word of God. He tells us that it is indeed warfare. He says, I fought a good fight. He said that thou mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and good conscience, which some, having put away concerning the faith, hath made shipwreck. Paul says it's a fight. It's an all-out, knock-down, drag-out dogfight every day of your life. It's a battle with your flesh every day of your life not to sin. It's a battle with your flesh every day of your life not to get wicked thoughts in your imagination, not to give way to the desires of your flesh, not to let pride and greed and covetousness fill up your heart so that it might put away or cast darkness on the things of God. It is an all-out battle each and every single day that we war with ourselves. But not only do we war against flesh and blood, not only do we war with ourselves, but we are warring a spiritual battle. The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The devil ain't playing games this morning.
Amen.
And I tell you another thing, the world's not on our side either.
Amen.
You got to battle your flesh. Peter said, pilgrims, strangers, he says, brothers, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims that you abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. You're going to battle your flesh, you're going to battle against the devil, and you got the whole world to fight along with it. He said, "Preacher, that doesn't quite sound like a very encouraging message." Well, I'll tell you this. The Bible says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. Your flesh is no match for God. The devil is most certainly no match for God. The devil is most certainly not as powerful. He doesn't know all things. He can't be all places. People, through all this Greek mythology, and this is kind of theology that they made up that doesn't come from the Bible, they get this idea that there's always existed this force of good and this force of evil, and that it's been a constant battle, and that God has to wipe sweat from His brow as He fights away against the devil. Let me tell you something, friend. Go to the back of the book. Read in Revelation chapter number 20 what's going to happen. All the nations of the world eventually. This is after the millennial reign. This is after God has set up His kingdom on earth. They're still going to rebel in their heart. They're still going to gather against Him. And you know what the Bible says? Their ultimate consummation is that God will bring down fire from heaven and devour them. It says it just like that. That whole book's about one man, Jesus Christ. And from Genesis chapter number 3, from the prophecy that God gave to Adam that He would use the seed of the woman to bruise the head of the serpent, but that the head of the serpent would bruise the heel of the seed of the woman. Jesus has been and is and will be defeating the devil, and He's no match for him.
Amen.
But you and I, as Christians, we're enlisted in the fight. Amen. We're enlisted in the war. We're part of God's army, and we're told to fight a good fight. And no great battle, no great war is going to come without scars. They say that perhaps one of the greatest military minds of all time at the West Point Academy, they still study his tactics today. Alexander the Great was lined up with his soldiers, and they had come back to their homeland, and they had prepared a feast, and they had prepared a banquet for him, and they were so amazed to see him. He was like a legend. He was something methodical, something people didn't even believe, something people that only heard stories about. And as he came through the town, and he led his convoy of soldiers with him, they lined up to get ready to enter the feast, and he turned to him and he says this. He says, "Before any of you men enter in here to celebrate, I want you to show me your scars." That's what he told him. And he went to the first man and he said, "Show me your scars." And the man would show his missing limbs, and the man would show his scars, and the man would show his wounds, whether they'd been healed a long time or whether they were fresh. And he would tell him to go ahead, go in and have a good time. And he'd get to the next man and he'd look at him and he'd be cowering. He'd say, "I don't have any scars." He said, "Get out of here." He said, "You weren't fighting the same battle I was fighting if you don't have any scars." And there's some of you in here this morning, and you've been through greater spiritual battles than I have. You've been through more. You've seen more than I have. You've been saved longer than I have. And you've had spiritual things happen in your life. And what it's done, it has left a scar on your life. But it's a reminder that God's grace is sufficient. And you might be scarred up, and you might be marked up, and you might be mangled. But let me tell you something, friend. God's kept you. God's preserved you. You're sitting in the sanctuary on the Lord's Day at a Sunday night service here, faithful where you're supposed to be, and you're still enlisted in the fight. You haven't given up yet. I'm proud of you. I thank God for you. But there is a battle to be fought. Paul said, "I've fought a good fight." We see a spectacular fight, but we see a satisfactory finish. Paul says this, "For I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course." I want the Bible to be real to you this evening. Paul recognizes he isn't coming home. Amen. Paul realizes he's fulfilled the purpose that God has set on his life. He witnessed in Jerusalem, and because he was faithful to witness there, God took him to Rome. That was his desire all along, was to try and win them to God, to try and put a church in Rome, to try and preach the New Testament doctrines and the truth of the grace of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. That was his heart's desire, and Paul has realized that God has let him see that now, but that he's nearing death. He's nearing the shore. He's not long from seeing his Savior face to face. He's on his deathbed, so to say, with his final words, knowing he's getting ready to be executed. And he says this, "I have finished my course."
Amen.
There's many a people on their deathbed are full of sorrow or full of regret. I wish I could take those things back. I wish I could go back and do those things again. And they've wasted their entire lives and never did anything for God. And they're ashamed. But Paul says, I finished my course. God set a path for me. God had a plan for me. And I stuck with it and I finished it. Amen. My friend, there's no greater testimony than that right there. Man. Hey, you know what your course might be? It might just be being a faithful soul winner. Helping out around a church, doing what you can when you can. Amen. That might be your course. Leading your family, teaching your kids about God. Mm-hmm. Something that the world might look at and say, well, that's not much. Hey, if that's the course God's put on your life, that's the highest calling you can receive right there.
Amen.
We're all different parts of the family of God, fitly joined together. And there's so many people that on their deathbed, they say, I wish I could have done things different. I wish I'd have done this right. I wish I'd have done this right. I wish I would have finished my course. They lose all this satisfaction. But Paul says, I was satisfied in serving God. He was shipwrecked. He was snake bit. He was stoned. He was half beat to death. He was ridiculed. He was mocked. He had his family and his friends turn his back on him. And he traveled. Oftentimes he didn't have food. Oftentimes he didn't have shelter. And he says, I'd do it all over again because that's the path that God has chosen for me. I want you to look at verse number 6. He says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I'll ask it to you this way here this evening. If you were to die right now, are you satisfied with the testimony you've left in this world? Now, I will not stand up here and tell you that I could say yes truthfully and honestly. There's some things I want to do for God. There's some things I could do better. There's some things I need to do to get closer to the Lord and grow in His grace. Paul says, I'm now ready to be offered. What a testimony.
Amen.
You want to talk about finishing well. You want to talk about a satisfactory finish. And I want you to notice the personal possessive pronouns in verse number 7 right there in that middle portion that we just read right there. I have finished my course.
Amen.
That is personal. Listen to me tonight, Christian. God has a course for you. God has a purpose for you. God has a plan for you. And God is wanting to use you. That applies to each and every single one of us in here tonight. God wants to use us. Paul would say this to Timothy in the first epistle, and having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they which be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money, which is the root of evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred in the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. You know what Paul's saying? He's saying there's many a people that have gotten off course. They fell in love with the world. They fell in love with the things of the world, and they've fallen away from the faith. And the Bible says they've pierced themselves with many a sorrows. And if you're anything like I am in here this evening, and you've made some mistakes, and you've done the wrong things, you know how bad it hurts. You know how shameful it is. And thank God by His grace, He picked us up. He's brought us here to church tonight. God, listen to me. God has you here tonight. God's put breath in your lungs because He's not done with you yet. Don't get this idea in your mind, the devil's trying to put in your mind right now, that says, well, you did that stuff and God's brought you through it, but you also did that one thing, or you did this, and the devil says, well, God can't use you, you're unclean. God's got you here tonight purposely because He wants to use you. God wouldn't have brought you here tonight. That's why we're here tonight, to be reproved, to be rebuked, to be exhorted, to be encouraged, to be lifted up, admonishing one another, understanding that God is not done with His church. God can still work in this day and age. God can still work in your life. God can still work in your family. God can still work in your workplace. God can still do a mighty work with you. You can leave a testimony of satisfaction. There's still a chance. You can leave a testimony of satisfaction here on this earth. Paul tells him He says they turned away, they coveted. Many a people, what happens? They get off course. Now, I know you couldn't tell by looking at me here tonight, but I used to be a sprinter on the track team when I was in high school. And my race was the 400 meter dash. If you're familiar with track, that's one complete lap all the way around. When you run the straight one time, that's a 100 meter sprint. When you run an entire lap at a full sprint, that's called the 400 meter dash. That was my race. That's what I ran. I remember there was a boy that I ran track with, and he was way faster than I was, and he was awful good, and we went to this meet. It was a regional meet, and everybody knew he was going to win. Everybody was expecting him to win, and he got in a low heat early on and was getting ready to race in the finals, and he was racing, and they put him in his starting lane, and he got ready to race, and he just blew everybody out of the water right out of the gate. Got to run, and made that first big turn. Had some people to pass, passed everybody by the second straight, came around that second turn, came down for the finish line, 20, 30 yards ahead of everybody else. Didn't even have to stretch through the finish line, just kind of jogged on through it. And everybody's cheering and everybody's clapping and everybody's going wild and everybody's excited, and he's all fired up because he just won the race, and he just dusted everybody. And the men with the clipboards and the men taking the times, and they all gather together and they're in a circle and they're over on the edge of the football field and they're talking with one another, and I can see him pointing and I can see him talking in the headset with the people up in the press box, and they're looking down and there seems to be something wrong, and I'm standing there beside him, and he's trying to catch his breath, and he's saying, "What are they talking about? What are they doing? Did I do something wrong?" And the man walks over to him, and he looks at him, and he says, "Sir," he said, "you crossed the finish line in lane 7. He said, "You came out of the gate in lane 6. Somehow, some way, in the heat of that race, making one of those turns or another, he got mixed up in the wrong lane. And he put all that effort into that race. And he put on a great spectacle for all those spectators. And he passed all those people by. But it was all for nothing because he was in the wrong lane. He wasn't running the right course." You know what I'd hate to do with my life?
Amen.
Is invest all my time and all my effort and all my focus into running the wrong course. You know, some of the greatest things that happen in your life is when God tells you no.
Amen.
When you think, "Well, that's got to be the will of God for my life," but God says no. And God closes the door, and God withholds something from you. And you can't understand it, and it might not feel good, it might hurt, but God's saying, "I'm keeping you on course."
Amen.
I'm keeping you on course. Paul said, "I have fought a good fight." That's a spectacular fight. He said, "I have finished my course." That's a satisfactory finish. And I want to look at one more thing here this evening. He says this, "I have kept the faith." I've kept the faith. Now, Paul doesn't mean he kept the faith in the way the Calvinist would say that he kept the faith, that he persevered, and because he endured, and because he maintained some sort of lordship of Christ, that God ultimately brought him into salvation because he did all these things. No, that's not what Paul's talking about. Paul's talking about the truth of God's Word.
That's it.
Paul's talking about the truth of the gospel. Paul says, "I've stayed true to the Word of God. I've kept the faith." The Hebrew writer would say this in Hebrews chapter number 10, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised." Listen, there's going to be wicked enemies, there's going to be devils and devices and lies and things that will try and steal away the faith of God out of our hearts, but God tells us to hold fast the faith, to keep on practicing the doctrines of the church. That's why I believe, hey, I'm not interested in an emergent church. I'm not interested in a church that's contemporary, that's changing. I'm interested in a church that's as close to resembling the first century church in the book of Acts as we can possibly be.
Amen.
That's what I'm interested in here tonight. I'm interested in keeping the faith. I'm interested in sticking with the stuff. It's not that he kept himself in God's grace or that he maintained his salvation in some manner, but rather he was faithful to the doctrine of Christ, to the doctrine of the teachings of God, and he kept the faith. And Paul, I'll remind you, to the Galatians, he would tell them, if I or any other angel from heaven preach unto you another gospel, let him be accursed. Paul said, what I've got to say isn't important. What I think isn't important. It's not about what I think. It's not about what I say. It's about what God said. And he told that church, he said, if I come back preaching another gospel, he said, let me be accursed. Let me be cast away. Let me be anathema. He says, don't listen to a word of it.
Amen.
But thank God Paul kept the faith. Paul, there was a sustained faith in Paul's life. Paul would also say to Timothy, now the Spirit speaketh expressly in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils.
Amen.
In just the 5 years I've been preaching, I've seen so many people turn out of church. I've seen the consequences that it's wreaked on their family. I've seen people quit preaching the King James Bible. I've seen people fall away into the vices of the world and just go with the flow and do whatever's convenient and do whatever makes people happy rather than what makes them holy. Paul says, listen, people are going to fall away.
Yes, sir.
But you don't have to, Timothy. You don't have to follow them. You don't have to give up. You don't have to take the easy way out. He says, you keep on fighting, you keep on warring, you keep that faith. Mm-hmm. He speaks of Demas in verse number 10, and he says this, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Demas loved Paul. Demas was with Paul. Demas supported Paul. No doubt they had fellowship. And it hurts Paul, and he pins it down here. He said, even Demas has forsaken me. Listen, Christian. Mm-hmm. Just because they walk away doesn't mean you have to.
Amen.
Just because they give up does not mean you have to.
Amen.
I read that scripture and I can't help think of my preacher. Been serving God and pastoring the Taze Valley Baptist Church for 40 years. Been preaching for 46 years now. Hasn't changed a bit. I go travel with him to meetings and went with him all over the world. And everywhere I go, people tell me, one thing I love about your preacher is he's just the same as he was 46 years ago. He hasn't changed. He hasn't backed down. He hasn't cooled off. He's still on fire for God. Mm-hmm. And you know, in that 46 years, there have been many people try to take him down. There have been many people try to lie on him. There have been many people turn their backs on him. And I cannot even begin to imagine the sorrows he had to face. I can't imagine what kind of scars he must have. But I tell you, it encourages me to see that he stayed faithful. Last year at the Taze Valley Baptist Church, a church sent out about seven preachers. In 2017, we had about 35 preachers in the church. I believe now there's about 15 just sending out preachers to pastor churches and preach and evangelize and do missionary work and do these things. It's important that we look back to those who have kept the faith. Mm-hmm. Realize that when people were giving up, they weren't. When people were buckling, when people were giving in, when people were forsaking the faith and giving up on the doctrines of God, they weren't. My pastor had many a man preaching his pulpit have turned their back on the King James Bible, turned their back on old time religion, turned their back on Bible Christianity. But that didn't faze him. And I believe that perhaps because I'm in the situation I'm in and I have the perspective that I have, I think of Timothy reading this. And I think of Timothy running into his battles.
Yeah.
And I think of Timothy getting threatened. I think of people getting hostile towards Timothy and wanting to stone him and wanting to attack him and wanting to attack his family. And he remembers Paul. He remembers those dying words where he said, I'm ready to be offered. I'm ready to go. I've run my course. I've kept the faith. I've fought the good fight. There was sustained faith. Listen to me. I want to keep the faith. I don't want to give up. I don't want to fall away. I most certainly do not want to fall away in these last days because, listen, God's looking for faithful Christians.
Amen.
God's looking for people to be faithful to serve Him. Will you finish well? Could I have your head bowed and eyes closed tonight? Every head bowed and every eye closed. I wonder how many Christians want to come to the altar tonight and pray. Maybe you've stumbled, maybe you've fallen, but by God's grace, you're in the house of God tonight. You've got air in your lungs tonight. You've got clothes on your back tonight. You're going to go home and put food in your belly tonight. God is sustaining you. God is keeping you. God is showing you grace. God is waking you up with new mercies every day, and it's because He wants to use you. And there's many of you in here tonight that want to finish well. If that's you in here this evening, I invite you, would you just come to the altar and pray? Just come to the altar and bow down and humble yourself before God and ask God to keep you. Ask God to sustain you. Ask God to help you that you might not be ashamed of the testimony you leave behind on this earth. Listen, you and I aren't going to have enough to answer for on Judgment Day. When we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, God help us. We're going to know the terror of the Lord. We're going to have enough to answer to. We ought to at least try and build up some jewels and some precious metal so that when our works are burned up as fire, we've got something to give back to Jesus. God wants to use you, Christian. Mother, father, grandma, grandpa, son, daughter in here tonight, God wants to use you. Co-worker in here tonight, God wants to use you. Classmate in here tonight, God wants to use you. Client in here tonight, God wants to use you. Don't underestimate any opportunity for God to use you. Treat every interaction with someone outside of these walls as another opportunity to share the gospel with a lost and dying world. May God help us tonight. I want to finish well. I want to finish strong. I want to fight the good fight of faith. I want to leave it all on the battlefield. I want to finish well.